Probably as you look around the room here, almost everything that you see has been used for many different things. A lot of times the guys will be in here doing Foley and they'll get to a part in the script and say, what are we going to use for this? And they'll look around and start trying different things. Or they'll say, well, we can't really do this. I'm going to have to think about what we can do to create this sound effect.
Porchlight Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchlightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit. My name is Finian Jones, and you are?
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, welcome to Audio Theater Central. This is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew.
This is episode 74. Happy New Year. This is January 2016 at the time of release, so we want to thank you for taking your time to download and listen to this show. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's right. Happy New Year,
welcome
everyone.
To 2016.
Yeah.
Not a lot has changed, but... We're still alive. That's a good thing.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, we've got a lot of fun in this episode. We've got an announcement about a brand new radio drama that Pat Roy, the creator of Jonathan Park, is currently working on. It's going to be fun. We're going to introduce you to another series called The Coral Island Adventures. We've got an announcement about a new group called the Audio Drama Alliance. And I know I've said this before, but if that isn't enough, we've also got a tour of the Foley Room at Focus on the Family, where the sound designers create all the sound effects for Adventures in Odyssey and for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Wow.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
As you heard from that clip there at the beginning of the show, Nathan Hubler was our tour guide, and we've got a lot of fun to share with you in this episode. Well, this new audio drama that Pat Roy is launching is called Time Chroniclers. There is quite a lengthy trailer on their website, and there's a link in the show notes to check that out. It's over 6 minutes long, so it'll give you more of an overview of what you can expect from this series. But since we're not having a review in this episode, I'm going to let Andrew read the overview for this audio drama called Time Chroniclers.
What do a boy, a watch, and a journal have in common? They're all clues that unravel a past that has the Pinner family trying to find out what really happened on the voyage of the HMS Beagle. Time Chroniclers is an audio drama that continues to give great evidence for creation in an exciting and informative way. Follow the Pinner family, Scott, Suzanne, Winnie, Hope, and Heath, as they find secrets from the past that unlock their future.
So from that little bit, what do you guys think? There's nothing released yet. Any thoughts?
I think that if Pat Roy needs an announcer, I'm open.
That's funny. Oh, Andrew. I think you'd make a great announcer for Pat Roy's Time Chronicles. Time Chroniclers, excuse me.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the trailer. It doesn't really give a whole lot of information. It's very vague, so there's a lot of people involved. It seems like a pretty large cast, so I'm excited to see what happens, so...
For sure. Yeah. And there's one thing we know it will be, and that's chock full of good information and arguments for creationism.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a really well done way.
Yeah. From his track record, we know that we can expect that. So that's great. In a related note, Pat Roy is no longer with Creation Works or the Jonathan Park series. So this is a brand new venture for them, and they're creating this under the banner of an organization called Creation Quest.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing some new stuff. So we're excited to see where this goes.
Yeah.
So we'll have to just wait and see, but there's a link if you want to go check out the website and the trailer, and there's already character bios up there. And so it's cool. It's cool. We're excited for Pat. Well, as I mentioned, I was able to go visit Focus on the Family a few short weeks ago and chat with Nathan Hubler for a little while and go kind of behind the scenes of their process of how they work on Adventures in Odyssey episodes. And we got to go into the studio there where they actually sometimes, you know, most of the lines, I would say the majority of the lines are recorded by actors in Hollywood at Salami Studios, where all of us have been.
Ah,
yes.
But on occasion, there's a few lines that was from a little tiny character, not in stature, but in number of lines.
Yeah, exactly.
That they needed to pick up, and they just didn't have an actor in Hollywood at the time to do those lines. So somebody on the staff at Focus will record those lines. So they do have a full studio right there with a booth and the mics and everything, the whole setup where they can record those lines.
Wow.
Those can be done there at the Focus on the Family campus in Colorado Springs. So we got to see that room and where they do that. And there are pictures of everything in the show notes at audiotheatercentral.com/74. But our favorite thing and our highlight of this visit was going into the Foley room. And we know you, the listener, and especially some of you that have been commenting and corresponding with us recently, Sarah Grace in particular, is really interested in sound design. And it's one of the things that I find fascinating about the audio drama process in general. And I know you love it too, Roy.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
So getting to see where the magic happens, so to speak, was really cool. So this first clip that I want to share with you is Nathan kind of explaining the process for how they create the character footsteps in Adventures in Odyssey. And there's one character that he's trying to get us to guess. So as you're listening, see if you can guess who he's referring to here. Now, we were with a couple of other Focus on the Family employees as we were going through. It was me, my wife Kristen, and three other Focus employees going around with Nathan. So you'll hear a few other voices here, but see if you can guess this character here.
Every character has their own pair of shoes, and every pair of shoes sounds differently. So a lot of people think, again, because they've seen videos of old-time radio drama or whatever, that to do the footsteps, we actually take Whit's feet, Whit's shoes, I should say, and just do this. And as you can hear, that does not sound like a real person's footsteps. It sounds like someone picking up shoes and just walking on a table like that. So when they're doing a character's footsteps, they actually take the shoes and put them on. And the fun thing is that the sound designers, you know, they're their own size, but they have to pretend to be the footsteps of all different sizes and shapes of people. So if there's a 9-year-old or let's say even a 5-year-old boy running across the room, they have to do those footsteps and perform those footsteps. If there's a 98-year-old grandma walking across the room, they have to think, how does she sound? She's probably not quite as fast as the 5-year-old. She has longer legs than the 5-year-old, so she doesn't need to take as many steps to keep up, but she's also 95, so she's probably not going to be stomping around the room like a 5-year-old might, and she might drag her feet a little bit. And so that every character has their own particular performance of footsteps, and all the other sounds as well. Footsteps might be the most obvious, but if you look over here, we have a number of different pairs of shoes. These, of course, any idea who these might be for? These
Red Holler?
Leather cowboy boots.
No, although he probably could wear those. It's a character we haven't heard from in a little while, but it's the closest thing we have to a cowboy on Adventures in Odyssey, which would be...
What's the farmer?
Tom. Oh, Tom
yes,
Riley.
Tom Riley, yes. Yeah, so good when one, Tom Riley thing. Would walk around, he would wear these leather cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. Now, Wooten actually wears these. And you notice that these are a little big, so they're a little bit too big for him, so they make kind of a funny, clumpy kind of sound. And it's very subtle. Again, it's one of those things that when you listen to the show, you wouldn't say, boy, I really noticed Wooten's clumpy footsteps in that show. But it adds just a slight element of humor to his character, because he wears shoes that are a little too big for him. They just have kind of a funny sound to them. And so these are Wooten's shoes. These here are Connie's shoes, yes, believe it or not. These are Connie's shoes. So just because of the sounds they make, they took out the laces on these years ago because the laces were too noisy, just the flapping of the laces back and forth, but these are what Connie wears when she walks around with them. You have to be careful with shoes because a lot of men's formal shoes have hard soles, but you can't use those in radio drama usually because it sounds like the men are wearing high heels. So you don't want that clicky sound.
Yeah. Of
a guy walking around, because we'll start to question, why is he wearing those high heels?
Wow.
That was really cool. And you'll hear him reference Wooten's shoes. They're big brown old, worn leather shoes, and Connie's are these big, look like a basketball tennis shoes.
Wow.
That's funny.
It's funny to picture this stuff in your mind, or to see this stuff and picture the character wearing these particular shoes.
Yeah. I never thought of Tom wearing cowboy boots, but that is definitely, I can see that now. That's neat.
It just goes to show you the depth of thought process that they put into this audio drama. I mean, it is really, really amazing.
The amount of detail. Yeah. For sure.
Well, and then everybody is familiar with this next sound effect, and we've referenced this before, I believe. The sound of the original Imagination Station as it's kind of getting going and kind of winding it down. You know, you hear that creaking and squeaking noise.
Yeah.
That is made by this old metal typewriter table that, as Nathan was walking around the Foley room, he bumped into it and I heard that noise and I'm like, I recognize that.
Yeah.
So here's a little clip of him explaining that.
While I'm over here and having bumped into it, then yes. Yes, you already know the answer to the million-dollar question, uh-huh. which is, this is the bass sounds of the original Imagination Station. And it's still used on the show occasionally. So this goes way back to 1989. There are a lot of sounds added to this, but the bass sound of the Imagination Station, someone getting into the Imagination Station, is this table, someone getting out of the Imagination Station. Wade is trapped in the Imagination Station. Tom is pounding on the outside. We have that. Where I hear it the most when you listen to the shows, and once you hear it, you can't unhear it again, and you'll always think of this typewriting table. But where I hear it the most is when the Imagination Station winds down on a biblical adventure.
Slowing down. And you hear it. Yeah.
So, yes, that's where you hear it the most. So I need to talk to Dave and figure out who exactly came up with the idea of, hey, there's an old typewriting table sitting around. Let's use it for the sounds of this, you know, most amazing invention ever invented. Let's use a typewriting table for it. But it worked. Like a lot of the sounds in here, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what it sounds like.
Pretty cool, huh?
Wow. That's amazing.
It must be really, really difficult to divorce your mind from the idea that this doesn't look anything like what I'm trying to get the sound for or whatever. That must be really difficult.
Yeah.
To actually like discover the sound of, you know, like he was talking about this whole metal typewriting table and finding out that, wow, this actually does sound exactly like some big machine with a door that does, you know, all this other crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You have experience doing this, Roy. How does that work in your mind as you're trying to come up with sound effects for something?
Well, I think sometimes you'll just be playing around with something. Like this happened to me just the other day. We had some friends over and they have a young boy and he has this little toy, this little truck that has these like ribbed tires on it. Mm-hmm. And I had my microphone out and plugged into the sound system I have. And he was playing with that as well. Then for some reason I just took the microphone and set it on top of the toy and then ran the toy across our laminate wood floors. And it came out with like this great like rumbling sound. I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to use this someday for like a big truck or like, you know, a motorcycle. It didn't have the appearance of that, but it got the sound of that. I think sometimes you just run across like these sounds like, oh, I need to write this down because I can use this, you know. But I think sometimes it happens like that. And sometimes, you know, I've heard sound designers talk about it a lot. They start with a bass sound. And then they, you know, try and figure out what can we add to that, you know, to make it, to beef up the sound.
But. Yeah. And I heard an example recently and it totally blew my mind. So they're talking about getting the sound of a, you know, if a character pulls a gun in an audio drama, that makes no noise in real life. You just pull a gun and point it at somebody. It makes no noise. So they add in the sound of the hammer being cocked to get that sound. So that you know that this character is holding a gun.
Great example.
And so they're saying, you know, not everybody has handguns laying around the house to get that sound. And that sound is also very subtle, too. So sometimes you wouldn't even really hear it. Some certain guns don't make very much noise. So you take one of those old ice cream scoops that has the little lever on it.
Oh, yeah.
That has that little thing that swishes through the bottom of the scoop to make the ice cream come out.
Right.
And it makes a nice loud clicking noise.
Interesting.
And it sounds like a gun being cocked.
Wow.
That's funny.
Wow, that's great.
So it's just an example. It's really, you have to be creative. You cannot look at the item.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
And the funny thing is that like Roy, like he was talking about with the toy truck, like we've been doing things just randomly and something completely dissociated with what we're actually thinking of at the time. And we'll hit something or open a door or like find some random thing and like look at each other and go, hey, that sounds just like something that doesn't have anything to do with mm-hmm. what it, the object actually is. So if I guess a lot of this stuff you can just stumble on if your mind is bent in that direction.
Totally. Another cool thing that we saw was that inside this Foley room, there are all these different types of surfaces that they walk on. In those shoes, as he mentioned in the previous clip, they put these shoes on, and depending on where that scene is set, they'll walk on this surface and record those footsteps. So some of these are a bit visual, but Nathan does a pretty good job of describing each of the surfaces and what it's used for. And in the show notes, again, there are pictures of these different surfaces, so you can actually see, you can look at those as you're listening, or if you're on your phone, you know, check out the link at audiotheatercentral.com/74 and check out these pictures. But it's really interesting.
In here, we have all these different floor surfaces, and that's because we want to take your whole neighborhood and put it into one room. So this is the floor at Wits End right here, this linoleum floor, at least the main room at Wits End is this linoleum floor. If we were in the kitchen, we might have this tile floor. If we were at the Parker family house, they would be on probably this hardwood floor. One thing about the families in Odyssey is that they love hardwood. None of them have carpeted floors, because if they had carpeted floors...
No footsteps.
You would not hear footsteps. It would just sound like people walking around. So the families in Odyssey all love hardwood floors. Over here we have a different kind of wood floor. So this would be, you know, like an old barn or an attic maybe. The boards are purposefully made squeaky. Over here, of course, we have, if we were walking on the sidewalk, we'd probably grab some of this because the sidewalk is not all that noisy by itself, but if it's some dust on it, then you can actually hear more of the sounds of walking on the sidewalk. And then here would be walking out of the parking lot. And then over here in the mud pit would be a lot of the outside sound effects. Now, we have some other stuff. Let me go underneath here. So this would be, you know, walking around on the beach or maybe out in the desert, you know, Israelites wandering through the desert. Then this would actually be like walking on a trail.
Okay.
Because even though the trail is dirt, that dirt gets so compressed that it's sometimes hard to hear the sound of footsteps walking in it. But dirt might be used more for, you know, Sergeant York, where they're digging these trenches or something. Mm-hmm. And we do some digging sound effects here. Or the sound of someone falling down. And we do the falling down here. It's a little bit softer than that gravel. So anytime we need the sounds of someone swimming or someone wading into the water, let's say John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, then we actually have a small pool in here that we can fill up with water and do all the water sounds in there. The room of consequence floor is right where Kristen is standing. So, yes, that metal floor is the room of consequence.
Wow.
So cool.
Very cool.
That is awesome.
So this room is probably maybe – I'm just completely pulling a random number, but I think it's like 20, maybe 20 by 20, something like that. So it's a fairly good-sized room.
Yeah.
So they've got all these different surfaces. They've got doors. There's bicycles. There's fake trees and other types of foliage and – just fake branches with leaves on them laying on the ground. That I don't know what all this stuff is used for, but you know, there's a full kitchen with a stove and cabinets and the sink and
wow, that's crazy.
Dining room table with chairs, just all this kind of stuff. It's like a candy store for you, Roy.
I know. I can just hear it.
Sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of doors, they have a regular, you know, just a standard door, and then there's a screen door and a couple of other ones. So Nathan kind of explains the nuances of using different sounds of different types of doors closing and how that triggers different things in your mind as you're hearing them, and it's really fascinating.
This is the front door at Wits End. So that's the front door at Wits End. The bell is added later. And as most of you probably know, if you go over to Wits End, they have the original bell over there, and it's under glass and guarded by all these lasers and stuff. So no one takes it. If you touch the net, this net comes out and grabs you. The bell is very important. But what I think is interesting about this is that, you know, we have the kind of the regular standard door. But the reason that we have a screen door here is a screen door makes a very specific sound effect. Most mm-hmm. doors, like this one, you know, close once. They close, and that's the end of it. But with a screen door, it actually closes several times. So this one. Closes a few times. And so yeah. Screen door has a very specific effect. And for Odyssey, that Midwestern setting, like sitting on the front porch, drinking lemonade, a screen door has a very specific emotional feeling for a lot of people. And so that's why we have a screen door in here.
Again, just showing the level of detail that they yeah. go into.
Wow.
As the Midwestern people know, it's right in the middle dead of winter right now, and they're probably experiencing all kinds of snow in Odyssey.
Absolutely.
So
Nathan tells us a little bit about how to create snow sounds, and a classic approach from back in the day of old-time radio and to some of the more modern approaches that they take with Odyssey today.
Another one was how we go back and forth on this particular sound effect, and do you know what this is used for?
Snow.
Snow, yes. So this is old trick going back to the early days of radio of when someone's walking around in freshly fallen snow, you use cornstarch. And for a little while, that works if it's just a few footsteps. And so we have used our share of cornstarch over the years. But we found that if it's a lot of walking around in snow, then it starts to sound like someone walking in cornstarch instead of walking in snow. And so for the recent show where we went to Alaska, then we actually went out and recorded some real snow effects, because for a three-part show of someone walking around in cornstarch, and it starts to grate on the ears, and you start to realize that's not snow. you can fool the ear for a while, but for that long, it just didn't work.
And I should clarify here that he is not stepping in this cornstarch. The cornstarch is still in the box, and he's just squeezing the box of cornstarch to make that sound.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Now, as he mentioned, they had to actually go out in the snow and get some real sounds of snow. And so he goes a little bit more into detail that sometimes substitutes just won't do. Sometimes you actually have to have the real item, the real object to make that real sound. A lot of times you can fool the ear with things like the ice cream scoop that I mentioned a minute ago, but sometimes you just have to have the real thing.
A lot of times we try and come up with different things for the sound effects and then say, you know, nothing but the real thing will do. We need to go buy a duck call, because that's what the show calls for. So same with, you know, them crossing a glacier, or, you know, one of my favorite ones is where, because I was involved in this one, was when Mitch was kidnapped and put in the trunk of a car. They needed the sound of someone rolling around in the trunk of a car. So at the time, I had a Buick, which had a big trunk. So they put me in the trunk with a recorder, closed the trunk and locked it, and drove around the block a few times. So that's me rolling around in the trunk, doing the walls of the car. So that was fun. That was one of those days that I thought, you know, I get to get paid to do stuff like this. This is fun.
One of my favorite ones is the sound effects for Mr. Skint's truck.
Yes.
When they went out and recorded, and somebody was riding on the
yes,
on the
Nate
hood
was yeah. up on the hood of the truck, and their scene called for him to put the truck in gear and actually drive down the road, and so they put the truck in gear, and he's there on the hood of the truck, you know, recording. And thankfully, we had the video of it, so we used it on that bonus feature. So.
Yeah, it was awesome. Oh, that's
cool. And it's just amazing not just the level of detail, but the dedication that these guys have to their job.
Yeah, seriously, whatever it takes to get the sound.
I will risk my life by riding on the hood of a truck as it drives down the road.
Exactly. Or in the trunk of a car. Well, I'd probably say in the parking lot, but still.
Who knows? Yeah.
Well, didn't he say we went down around the block?
Around the block, so, yeah.
Just don't get in a fender bender.
Totally.
Well, and as we know that a lot of times they don't have to go out and create a sound effect. Sometimes they can go to a library of sound effects. And we've done that in the past with the things that we've done here at Porchlight Family Media. And so in this next clip, Nathan just kind of explains sometimes it's just easier to use a sound effects library and go with something that somebody else has created rather than, you know, taking the time to create your own. And so Nathan took us into the room where they actually put together the Odyssey episodes. And it's right next to the Foley room. And that's where they record the Foley. There's a window where you can look in, and they have this computer there with just hundreds, probably thousands of sound clips. And he just went through them. This is where they actually mix the episodes of Odyssey and stuff like that. So it was really cool to see that. And so he talks about searching through this database of all these different sound effects. And he uses the example of zoo animals and how that might be something that it would be easier than going out and recording.
For one thing, the animals at the zoo usually don't make noise, or if they make noise, it's another animal making a loud noise next to the one that you actually want. And they're in a very echoey, again, to go back to that one, you know, they might be in a concrete enclosure of some kind, so you're getting echoes, you're getting a carousel, you're getting moms talking to their kids, they're getting a peacock, you know, so you're getting all these other things that you don't want to get in addition to the animal that you want. So if we look up, for example, monkey, we have all of these sound effects that we've bought over the years that we could actually go back and try and find some. So apparently this is a jungle that has some monkeys in the background. It must be pretty subtle. Let's try them in here. I think this is a real chimpanzee. Some of the ones that we have in here are things like this, which is a person. The others, so this is a jungle that has some monkeys in the background. It's definitely some echo on there. And there are some monkeys in here as well. Another big place we would use this kind of sound effect would be environmental sounds. So if it's raining outside, outside Wits End, then we would probably look up some rain effects and put those outside. Or if there's a show with a tornado, again, we're not going to drive out to Kansas and hold our microphones up to a tornado. We would create the sounds of a tornado from a lot of the sound, the wind sounds and the swooshing sounds and the you know, if you look up probably hurricane, there are probably some sounds on here. So those are the kind of sounds that it makes sense to get off a library of sounds. The sounds that it seems like we usually end up having to create are the sounds of specific movement, you know, sounds that are associated with what the character is actually doing at that moment. It's very hard to find something that specific in the sound effects library. You'd think, for example, that after all the times recording Bernard walking into Wits End to wash the windows, that we would just be able to use that from a previous show. But in that previous show, was he walking in a little hurried? Was he carrying his bucket? Did he stop to talk to somebody right at that exact time? Probably not. So those are the kind of sounds that we have to create for every show, and that's when you'd see them in the room here. And the other thing would be real specific character moments that are in a specific environment, like the walking on a glacier or falling into a lake, or one I think of too because I was involved in it again was in Great Wishy-Waz, where the metal guy got into a hot tub, and the sound effects library does not have someone who has built a metal getting into a hot tub. We just don't have that. And so Rob Jorgensen had me put on the metal and go to a local apartment complex here and get the sound of walking into the hot tub and walking back out of it. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of those are fun because you see people giving you the looks of wondering what on earth you're doing over there.
I loved that example.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And in the show notes is a picture of that metal. It's more like a metal breastplate from an armor that he had on. And there's a picture of that, so you can check that out in the show notes. But it was a lot of fun, and it's so informative. And I love hearing that behind the scenes, and I know the listener enjoys that as well. So thank you very much to Nathan Hubler for taking the time to visit with us and show us around the campus and just share a lot of really cool stuff about the process of making sound effects for Odyssey. And also in the show notes is a little bit of bonus audio that is not included in this episode, so head over to audiotheatercentral.com/74 to hear a little bit more from Nathan Hubler. Well, we wanted to tell you about another new audio drama series that is Well, new to Audio Theater Central listeners, it's been around for a few years. It's called Coral Island Adventures, and it's from a group that is based in Missouri, and they've been going for a couple of years now, like I said, and series 1 and 2 are now available on their website. There's a link in the show notes if you want to check that out. Series 3 is going to be releasing in the spring of 2016, and Janessa Cooper is the head of that project. She's a producer and director, and we're going to go ahead and play a little trailer for season 1 just to kind of give you an idea of what you can expect from this series.
It all began with one boy's imagination.
Say, what's on that big massive land way over there?
An imagination to a beginning adventure.
Police!
She's drowning!
No!
Watch out!
No!
No!
Help us!
The beginning adventure awaits your digital download. Purchase Series 1 today and begin your mysterious journey at coralislandadventures.org.
So the series kind of centers around a couple of different families, the Abners and the Adams. And Abe Abner is kind of one of the main characters, and he has a few kids. Jim Abner is his son, a police officer, and Jaina Morris is a single mother. And then he has his grandchildren, Maury, Molly, and Annie, and they all go along with him on these different adventures, and they try to make this abandoned island that they find into a place of excitement where they can do different things. And it also kind of focuses a little bit on some creation science. So they do kind of work that into the story, similar to the way Jonathan Park has in the past. So that's kind of another approach to share that perspective. So it's pretty interesting. There's also the Adams family. The kids are Joshua, Jenna, and Alex, and Andrew. And they're all siblings, and they find themselves held captive on this in this castle on this island. So there's villains, and there's computer programs, and all kinds of crazy technology stuff that happens in this series. So
nice,
cool. It's a lot of fun. I have listened to it, and I did voice some thoughts that I had about the series with Janessa. So season 1 is a little bit crowded as far as characters, and In my opinion. Now, she said that they have taken some of these things and changed them in going forward in season 2, and then in season 3 especially. They've kind of honed in. It's another independent group that just loves audio drama, and they wanted to create something. And so they got together, got a really good group. I just spoke with her on the phone just recently, and they're really excited about where things are going with season 3. All right, I get they're calling them series 3, and they've made some changes, kind of moved away from a long story arc to more quick episodes that you can kind of just dive right into and not have to know the entire backstory to enjoy it. So
nice. Cool.
They've made some changes, kind of thinned out the crowd, and they've got some other people that are involved that are on more professional level that are kind of consulting with them to take things up to a notch. And so
nice.
It sounds like they're going to be doing some really cool things. So if you jump into season 1, series 1, and it's not quite your cup of tea, maybe stick it out because it does get much better. So Coral Island Adventures, you definitely want to check that out. I mean, we're always on the lookout for cool stuff that's happening in this space. So
yeah, exactly.
It's exciting to see all the new content that's coming out. So you'll want to check that out. Link in the show notes for Coral Island Adventures. And thanks to Janessa for sending us review copies of these first 2 seasons. So we're excited for what they're doing. Well, speaking of new players in the audio drama space, there is a really exciting announcement that I wanted to share about. There is a group called the Audio Drama Alliance that has been formed recently, which is going to be a group, a collection of different people, producers and actors and sound designers and directors, all working together on some collaborative audio drama projects from various different people, writers. And so they're all coming together to work together and to create these one-off audio drama productions that we can share with the world. Now, I have been asked on behalf of Porchline Family Media to come on board to be a member of this new alliance, and it's being spearheaded by Green Stream Studios, They are the producers of the Shadows and Daylight audio drama and several other ones. The Jimmy, Sam, and Tommy show, for one. And so they're creating a lot of content themselves. So they're kind of heading this up, Christopher Green being the general manager of this new organization, the Audio Drama Alliance, affectionately referred to as the ADA. And so I've come on board to help out in the role of a director and some other things, helping, you know, just offer feedback and get the word out about what's going on over there. So I just wanted to, this is a very general an announcement, so we don't have a whole lot to share at this point, but in the year of 2016, there will be a handful of productions that will be coming out of this group, so that's exciting, and we just wanted to share that with you. Be on the lookout for productions coming from the Audio Drama Alliance, and, you know, other members, aside from Porchlight Family Media, other groups that are involved are CTD Productions, which is another independent group, and Ichthus Family Productions, which is our very own listener, Victoria and Sarah Grace. Their family has put together a little group where they're going to be producing their own content as well. So lots of new stuff coming into the space. It's really exciting how there's such an influx of some really good content. So I'm excited to be a part of the Audio Drama Alliance. And just wanted to share that information with you, the listener, so you can keep an eye out for some new content. These productions that come out will be available to listen to for free. So we're just creating it for the love of the medium of audio drama. So a lot of exciting stuff happening, and couldn't wait to share it with you. There'll be more information on that in the next few episodes.
So what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
I don't know why mail has to get such a bad rap. It's just the mail.
Yeah.
Seriously. Mail's important.
It is.
We do have our first piece of feedback from Sierra G, period. That's an initial, not a name. This was a comment left on the review of AIO 59, which is episode 72. Great review, Roy, Andrew, and JD. I agree, when my siblings choose an episode, it's really strange for them to pick an episode from a saga, although it has happened before. But then the album has to be played for the rest of the day because someone is sure to say, put the next episode on, which makes perfect sense.
Totally. Yeah. It's sometimes you're in the mood, though, for that long saga.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to hear Wooten and Eugene or, you know, something go wrong at wit's end and exactly. Laugh about it.
Yeah, seriously.
And next up we have a comment from Sarah Grace on episode 72, the review of AIO album 59. She says, I agree that the whole Wooten and Penny storyline is getting dragged out a little too far. Well, after album 60, which sounds like there will be quite a bit of them in it, it will have been three full albums concentrating mainly on them. And who knows if it will be even resolved at the end of number 60. To that, I just say, get the OAC Club and you'll find out right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite line in the whole thing. He's an architect, and he can text. There's no end to what I don't know about this man. Pennywise, hilarious. An interesting story behind Landon Davidson's name. Landon is the name of Dave
Arles. Hold on. And just to clarify, in case you don't know, she's talking about Pennywise referring to David Parker there.
Right.
In case you didn't hear that episode.
Yes. An interesting story behind Landon Davidson's name. Landon is the name of Dave Arnold's son, and then Davidson comes from Dave Arnold's name.
See, and I knew that.
A little bit about that.
Yeah, I thought we said that. I don't think we mentioned it in the episode. We talked about it, and I knew that, but we just forgot to mention it.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about it. Maybe we just mentioned it among ourselves. I think so. I thought we said something about it. Oh, well.
And she agrees with us, saying, yes, please let Connie get married to Jeff. Lewis.
I don't know about that.
Well, I agree with that. It has definitely been long enough. I will get controversial and say, let Connie marry Jeff and send them off to be missionaries and get a new Connie.
Whoa. What?
That's going a little
that
far.
Is that controversial. Is
incendiary remarks.
All right.
That's going way too far. That's like a Donald Trump comment for Odyssey fans.
Oh my word. I have to disagree about the Junior Creation response team. In earlier albums, they had much larger roles in the stories and have even been main characters in a few. I can't beg you guys enough to go back and listen to the early albums. It makes so much more sense when you do, and you will catch so many of the inside jokes from early albums. Great episode, guys. Keep up the great work. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe we should just let that whole comment go and just say thank you for commenting.
On the last one about Jonathan Park?
No, everything.
Oh, everything.
Everything. I could go on for an hour about all the stuff she just said.
Well, we've got time. You know, I have actually went back and started listening to some of the early JP albums.
Mm-hmm. And I have as well. So
I think I've made it about 3/4 of the way through album one. So I'm still way back there. But just been so busy and other things going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, preparing for episodes of new shows that we're doing. So, but I definitely plan to go back through the entire catalog of episodes.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on as you're going back through the episodes, Roy?
The very first one I enjoyed. I think it was, I texted you about it or something about it. I can't remember. I think it was the first album.
The Cave one?
Yeah. My wife and I are like, wow, this is amazing stuff, you know? So we were really excited. And, well, I think I've got through album 4 or 5.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Nice. So you've heard quite a bit.
Yeah. I kind of went on a roll there. So
I think I would say that this has nothing to do with, we're jumping back one comment about Connie getting married to Jeff Lewis.
Andrew is stuck on this.
I have to say, I think I would rather have Connie marry Jason than Jeff Lewis.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
No, like,
what happened to you? The new year's changed your mind?
My wife and I were talking about this the other day, and it's like, you know, I'm just not like that thrilled with Jeff Lewis as a character. No offense, he's kind of boring, but you know, it's just I'm just kind of like with Jeff Lewis.
Jason's not gonna get married to Connie.
No, I'm not advocating for this. I'm not
Monica
advocating
Stone.
For this.
We all know this. Monica said, Stone will marry Jason.
I said I would rather have
Connie,
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I would not rather have that happen in general, but I'd rather have that happen as opposed to getting married to Jeff. They either need to bring in a new character or something, because I'm like, you know, Jeff is just kind of like,
dude.
There's no chemistry there between him and Connie.
He flies in airplanes through snowstorms and like delivers packages.
There's
and he's like,
no chemistry between him and Connie.
He's very adventurous.
Yeah, but there's no chemistry between him and Connie.
You see Jeff flying the plane and she's like, Connie's like, oh, Jeff. Oh.
No, I can't. And that's the problem. Like, they just don't fit together very well. Like, I don't know. Like, their characters are way too different to, like, I don't know.
It worked when they're teenagers, but now they're adults. It's not there.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think so. Like, I'm just not there with the whole Jeff Lewis thing. I like him as a character by himself. Right? I would rather have Jason marry, you know, obviously Monica Stone. That'd be the best thing. And bring in somebody new for Connie. But, you know, the whole thing is like, I'm just not there with Jeff. Like, I honestly, I think if they actually did that, I'd be disappointed. I don't like it.
Well, wow. I think I would rather see Jason get married rather than focusing on Connie. I don't know. I mean,
I can see that too.
It changes it. No, they've said this before. It changes the character a lot.
But it doesn't. It didn't do it to Eugene. It wouldn't do it to Connie. It's fine. It's fine.
You don't think Eugene has changed at all?
No, not on the episodes where Katrina isn't involved or Buck. He's the same Eugene he always has been. All he does is mention Katrina. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Latrina.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Just to me, as far like when Eugene is with Katrina, he's a completely different character because he's playing the role of a husband instead of just Eugene. But when he's at Wit's End working on the stuff, you know, and working on the inventions with Mr. Whitaker, and even when he was looking for his father, and Katrina had a big part in that, but he would still just like hang out with Mr. Whitaker and talk to him, and it was just Eugene. It wasn't anything different. Like, as long as you don't bring in Connie's husband every day into Wit's End, you know, and blah, blah, and she still works at Wit's End or whatever else she does, it's still going to be Connie. I mean, she's changed anyway. I mean, she's already different than she was.
True enough. Know, yeah.
Everything else that's been going on. So I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Whatever happens, whoever gets married, I hope it happens in like 2 episodes. So that's all I have to say.
Oh, that's funny. Well, album 60 and 61 are, from what I understand, are going to be getting back to more slice of life, more, you know, trying to get back to day-to-day Odyssey-type stories instead of so much crazy long adventure and sagas and stuff. So,
yippee.
That's awesome. I'm happy for that.
Whatever.
Andrew.
You take it either way?
Yeah, I'll take it either way. I like the long sagas. I like the three-part stories. I like the one, you know, I like a good mixture of all of them. Like, take six episodes and wrap something up and then, you know, have the others just be slice of life or whatever you want to do. I don't care. Three parts, four parts, seven, eight, one.
Is it harder to do these different kinds of things with six episode albums, you think? Because, I mean, with 12 episodes, you can do a lot. You could do a two-parter. You could have a couple of slice of life. You could have a comedy. You could have a quick little mystery episode. You can mix it all up. Mm-hmm. But with six episodes, do you think that you changes things?
You can only do a three-parter and, like, three regular stories, right? I mean, that's all you can do if you got a six. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
It's harder to get that mixture.
Yeah, it's true. I think we still have to look at them as... we're getting one album a year and just put them together.
Yeah.
And don't even mess with like, I mean, I know that they're releasing them separately, but just act like they're all one thing.
Well, if you have the OAC, you get two albums a year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, if you have the OAC, you get more slice of life stuff anyway.
That's true.
Well, we could go on about that for another hour.
And it's only $9 a month now, people. I mean, come on. As long as you purchase it a year at a time.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Good stuff. Good stuff. We could keep going.
I guess I'm just going to say, get the Odyssey Adventure Club.
Does that solve all the problems?
It. Yeah, it's worth it.
Well, and when you join the Odyssey Adventure Club, don't forget to also join ATC Insiders.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's free and we'll email you out some cool stuff about what's going on in the audio drama world and what's going on with ATC. All of the information is at audiotheatercentral.com. If you want to get in touch with us, add/contact to the end of that. If you want to check out the show notes, which includes photos from the tour at Focus on the Family campus and more about the Coral Island Adventures and Time Chroniclers, go to audiotheatercentral.com/74. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media at porchlightfamilymedia.com.
You know what they say about New Year's resolutions?
What do they say?
They come in one year and out the other.
That is very true. Oh, man. There's so much to talk about with Odyssey, and it seems like anytime we get on that topic, it's just like, we can just go and go on.
Yeah.
That's very true. Very true.
Why is it that we are so emotionally attached to these characters?
I know. Like, maybe because we've just grown up with them. Yeah, exactly. And, like, that's probably just attached. And, like, really? It's just, like, a story. Come on. Like, grow up, adult people.
Who cares? Who cares what they do with it? Yeah. Wait, I do. My hand's up. Yeah. I do. I care.
That's awesome.
These are the keys to Wit's End. So, yes. Wit's Ring of Keys is very old-fashioned. These are skeleton keys because they make better sound effects.